Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're on a headset and you are open to everybody. So whenever you talk, whenever you cough, whenever you sniffle, everyone can hear you. So You have to be really careful about what you say on mic, because sometimes when you're just having a conversation with whoever sat next to you.
Honestly, you hear people's best secrets when you think that their mic isn't on.
Exactly.
Hey, hey, how are you? And welcome back to Outside the Box. This is the brand new podcast all about women in sport. Now, it's been a whole week or 7 days since the last episode, so I thought it about time that we dropped another for you. I hope you had a good week since we last spoke. I'm Becky Ives, and we're back with my next guest. To hang out, we're going to share some stories, offer help and advice to anyone thinking of wanting to get into working in sport. That's the whole point of this podcast. I'm going to play a few games and just be super nosy, finding out how my guests have got to where they have today. And today's guest, well, this one's a little bit different for both of us, I have to say, because normally this guest, well, she's a voice in my ear. And yet today, she sat opposite me. And normally she's behind the camera, but I'm so lucky that she agreed. She stepped out from behind the camera to come and talk to me face to face. TV director Grace Viracoon is here. Yay!
Thank you.
How are you feeling? Are you nervous being this side?
I'm really nervous.
Which is so funny because you are the most chattiest person.
I know. Normally you can't shut me up.
I know. And today you're like, oh, but look, thank you so much for talking to me about this. TV director, let's just explain, what exactly is your job?
I basically boss people around and tell people what to do.
That's pretty much
the short version.
And the long version
is you're in charge of everything that you see on screen. So if you see graphics on screen, when you see the presenters on screen, when you see different kind of features and videos, you're in charge of queuing all of those and making those happen. So you've kind of got to tee everyone up and make sure they're ready to run whatever you need them to run. You've got to cue your presenters, and you've got to make sure everyone knows what they're doing at any given point. So if a camera needs to move somewhere else because we need to get a different shot, you've got to move that camera and then cue that camera, cue the presenter, and then throw to the feature or the video that you're going to throw to. You've got to cue the music, lights, everything that you see on screen is controlled by the director. It's funny because when I tell my family about it, they have no idea how TV works and what I do in relation to it. And the easiest way that I can kind of describe my role, if you think of an orchestra, you've got the composer who kind of comes up with the piece of music, and then you've got the conductor who cues everyone and makes the whole thing come together. And a TV director is kind of like that. You've got the composer, which is the producer, who kind of comes up with the show, decides what each person is talking about and the direction that we're going to go. But you've got the director or the conductor who basically makes everything happen, cues everyone at the right time and keeps it all on track and working and produces.
That is such a great analogy of what your job is. I've never thought of it like that before, but it's exactly what it is. We're all different parts of the orchestra. I'm the violin, somebody else is the flute, and you're the person that's bringing it all together.
Waving my hands around and making it all happen.
That is fabulous. So we work together at Premier League.
Yep.
So you do football.
Yep.
What other sports have you done, or do you just do football?
So I started off, my first TV job was actually in athletics. I worked on the London 2012 Olympics.
Wow.
As a runner, so I was just making teas and coffees and getting people their lunches and taking scripts to commentators and things like that. So I was just kind of running around the whole stadium. I was based in the athletic stadium and it was incredible. I loved it.
I was going to say, that must have been London 2012. When you think back on that period of time, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Nothing but positive memories from it.
I still have to pinch myself that I was there, because not only was I working on a home tournament, but I was in the Olympic Stadium and our studio was literally right on the finish line of the 100 meter track.
Wow. Did you see Usain Bolt?
I saw everything.
Oh,
that Super Saturday when you had Greg Rutherford and and everyone kind of winning their gold medals, I was literally by the finish line. And it just, it blows your mind when you think about it. I look back at my photos on my phone and I'm like, that actually happened.
Yeah.
And I was a kid. I'd just come out of university. I didn't know anyone. I just kind of got lucky, was in the right place at the right time and got this gig and didn't get paid for it. All I got, my expenses covered.
So it was just a runner at this point. Just being a runner for a TV production company.
So it was, we did all the production for the big screen inside the stadium. And because there's athletics, there's always something going on. So we'd kind of, okay, that's the 100 meters finish. Now we're going to go over to discus or whatever it is. But in between, we'd kind of interview some people and that kind of stuff. So you'd be doing the studio stuff out and about wherever you are. But then you'd also kind of have the commentators upstairs who are commentating for the stadium during events. So you'd have to kind of make sure they were both happy. They had everything they needed. You'd have to give them the start lists for every race. So if I didn't print them off and give them to the commentators, they wouldn't have the start list.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, in terms of a runner, you had a huge job as being a runner.
I wasn't the only one. It wasn't all on me. But
it wasn't a one-man show. It wasn't just Grace.
But, yeah, so it was important. And the best thing about being a runner, you can go everywhere. My pass let me in around the whole stadium because I had to get around to be wherever our cameramen were. So it was amazing. I could just run around. I could speak to everyone and see what everyone did. And as a first job, it kind of gave me an insight into every part of TV, because at that point I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Did you want to work in TV?
Not when I went to uni. When I went to uni, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And then while I was at uni, I joined up, you know, you can join like clubs and societies and stuff. Joined up with a media society, did the TV stuff. So it's kind of all hands on deck kind of thing. So you did everything. You did the camera work, you did editing, presenting, directing, but it was all student media.
But it gave you a taste of every aspect.
It gave me a taste of it. It opened my eyes to something that I never even considered as a career or a possibility. I had no idea how you'd even get into TV or film or media. And then I just got lucky that in my final year, because the Olympics were happening, they'd advertised at universities and media courses around the country for people to volunteer to work.
At 2012.
At 2012.
So then you've done that in 2012. That's finished. So after that job, were you then like, hang on, I really do want to pursue this career in media?
Yeah, basically. I was like, I love this. This is definitely what I want to do. I could see myself doing this 10, 20 years into the future. Because for me, I always knew I couldn't do a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday office job. That wasn't for me. I had to be doing something that gave me a buzz or a thrill, something where it was different every day.
Yeah.
And TV gave me that, and sport gives you that as well.
There's no such thing as a normal day in sport, is there? So when did the TV directing come into play?
Probably about 2-3 years ago. So I'd worked my way.
So after 2012, so now we're talking, what, this started in what, 2016-ish. So over those 4 years, what did you do in those 4 years?
Off the back of the Olympics, I applied for a load of jobs, ended up getting a job working as an assistant producer. Actually, it wasn't even an assistant. It was a production assistant for the Football League show. Worked on that for a year and a half, worked my way up to be an assistant producer. So I started off basically doing a bit similar to kind of runner role. So making teas and coffees on show day. I'd have to do all the invoices and the call sheets and a little bit of admin work. And at the same time, I was kind of shadowing everything and trying to learn as much as I could. So I kind of got to get my hands into a little bit of script writing and cutting a few VTs and features and things like openers, closers, kind of funky promo VTs. And then worked my way up to be an assistant producer and then moved on to Premier League as an assistant producer. And that gave me all of the live experience working in the galleries, and that is where kind of my head was blown, because I was like, this is what I'm made to do. I'm made to work in galleries. I love the buzz. I love the thrill, the adrenaline rush. I was like, this is where I need to be. What I do in this gallery, I don't quite know yet.
Yeah. But where is my seat? Where is my place?
Yeah. And then I started doing VT co-ording, which basically means you're in charge of all the kind of feature videos that you see in a show. So when we started doing match days, it'd all be your pre-match, post-match, manager interviews, your kind of teases to break, kind of any openers, any closers, any features, any interviews, all of that kind of stuff. We would be in charge of recording them in as they're coming in, turning them around, putting it out. So you have to kind of manage your entire VT department on a match day and delegate who's going to do what. So I was already getting into kind of that management organization kind of role. And then I ended up off the back of that doing a director's course, which was a week-long course. I mean, you get taught the basics of directing, and you get thrown in the seat and you kind of simulate some live experiences and throw your hat into it. But it all comes from the experience that I'd already gained in the gallery. So all of that kind of led up to doing the director's course. And then once you've kind of learned the foundations and the basics of directing, it was then kind of small shows. They started off giving me kind of like short form content, which is kind of a couple of minutes, little hits that we do to camera. And then built it up from that to do longer and longer shows. And now I basically do, I mean, I don't just do every show, but I work on
every
show.
But you do, it's fine. You can absolutely big yourself up. No, because you work across a number of shows.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you work across a number.
I do every show on the Premier League now.
You absolutely do. But how many people are in a gallery?
Probably about 20 people. I'd say 20 to 25 people you're in charge of. And you're on a headset. And you are open to everybody. So whenever you talk, whenever you cough, whenever you sniffle, everyone can hear you. So yeah. You have to be really careful about what you say on mic. Because sometimes when you're off a show, you've just come off air, say, and you're prepping for the next show, you're rehearsing or not even about to rehearse, and you're still mic'd up, obviously. You're just having a conversation with whoever sat next to you.
Honestly, you hear people's best secrets when you think that their mic isn't on.
Exactly.
No, the best is when someone goes to the toilet and their mic's on. You're like, no, it's happened. That's so cool. And now you are girl boss, TV director of all these shows at Premier League. And honestly, you make it look easy. However, it's not that easy.
No, I'm like a duck paddling furiously underwater, but on the surface I look calm and steady.
And serene. Because the other thing about TV directing is, so you've built your way up, you've done this experience, you've done your course, they've started you out on smaller shows, you've got bigger and bigger, but eventually when you do your first show, and it's very similar with presenting, you just have to throw yourself off the cliff, so to speak, and go for it, because there's only so much you can simulate and practice before you go, I've just got to jump and do this, because we've got to go live and I've got to be across it.
Exactly. There's no in between. There's no kind of doing half a show or anything like that. You do your practice ones, but they don't give you that buzz, or they don't give you the pressure that you're actually under when you do a live show. And you've kind of just got to bite the bullet and do it. If something goes wrong, you have to deal with it. If something goes well, you take from it and you learn from it.
You also have to deal with, like, you know, people like me going, Grace, where are we going next? Grace, what's happening? Where am I standing here or am I standing there? And honestly, you are so on it every time. I can be like, are we doing tables or are we not? And you're like, no. I'm like, okay, great. Okay, cool. Like, before I've even finished my sentence to ask you what's coming next, you're like, no. I'm like, okay, great. You're so across it. It's fabulous.
But it's that times 20, because you've then got the lighting guy asking you questions about where we're going next. You've got the sound guy going, who's going to talk first? And you've got to prioritise, who do I need to answer first? So it's learning about that prioritising as well.
How do you prepare for doing a show?
You talk to the producer, who's obviously written the running order. You have a look through the running order and go through and basically look at if there's anything out of the ordinary, if they wanted to do something a little bit different, how much prep time that will need, and whether you can kind of do that live. Does it need to be pre-recorded? And then you go through and look through all the VTs as well, so you know kind of what the in of the VT is. So is it a slow fading in? Is it a hard in? And you've got to be quick on the cut to the VT. And similarly, the out of it, because sometimes you'll have VTs which have a very short last shot, for example. So you tend to watch the VT, so you have an idea of what to expect. And then once you've done that and you've kind of got an idea of what's happening in the show and where you need to go, how many, so if we've got any live reporters that we're talking to or any externals that we're going to, you know exactly what to expect. And then the next thing you do, you get your presenters in, because you're already clued up. And then you go through and kind of start rehearsing with the presenters, with the producer there as well.
It's an incredible process. Honestly, a TV gallery is just spectacular to watch. Everybody in there is so talented. And as a presenter, it does make you want to step up your game, because you're like, everyone has got this nailed to a T. Like, I cannot be like the weak link in this chain. Honestly, it's amazing.
It's a real team effort, and everyone is on it when we go on air. And so you kind of feel like everyone's together as well.
That's a really lovely feeling. That's a really great way to describe it. Right, throughout this podcast, Grace, we're going to play some games.
Oh, God.
Yay, you love a game. I'm asking all my guests that come on this to play these games. So Jules Breach and Phil Neville have gone before. Jules Breach is currently in the lead, 26, I apologise. Phil got 25 throughout this whole quiz. So
it's close.
It is close. So can you edge over at 27? Oh, we'll wait and see. The first one we're going to do is a YouTube clip. Now, normally with my guests, I show them a clip of a career highlight or something it means to them and ask them to talk around it. When you work behind the camera, there's nothing really much of you that I could find, to be honest. So I've got a different angle. I told you, outside the box by
nature.
That's
a good thing, by the way.
Outside the box by nature. And I have found a clip, and I think this will be interesting for you listening to hear, because this is effectively what your job is, Grace. But can you explain just a little bit what is happening in this YouTube clip? By the way, this is worth 5 points.
Oh, God.
Okay. Here
we go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
A very warm welcome to the stoop. A very
and that's 45 seconds to commentary.
Stand by, Zed away dressing room.
40 seconds.
Wobbles across the league. And in this season,
run Zed. 35 to commentary.
That is a lot of noise going on there. A lot of noise, but I guarantee you understand everything that is being done there.
Yeah.
Just talk us through a little bit, if you can. So what is going on? What are all those voices?
The main two voices you can hear. So you've got the female voice that's counting. So that's the gallery PA. So she makes sure, or he makes sure the whole show stays to time. So in that scenario, they're trying to make sure that they hit kickoff on time. So they're getting a count from whoever's doing the match as to when kickoff will be. So they're kind of obviously showing you all the pictures, and then they need to throw to the match commentators on time for kickoff. So she might be giving a count to how long you've got on those pictures before they run out. You've got to keep that count in your ear, but obviously not focus on it too much. But at the same time, that's your kind of marker as to, okay, I've got 30 seconds before I need to throw in. I need to get to these pictures by the time she gets to zero. And then the male voice you can hear is the director, which is what I do.
So that would be you.
And he's basically teeing up his cameramen or women and telling his vision mixer and the sound person and any video that they're running in that he's going to come to them next. So at the very end of the clip, they were going to run a promo. So he was saying, stand by the promo on whatever machine it is, run the promo. So it's a lot.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Of information that you're passing in a very short space of time. Yeah. So you've got to be quite efficient and succinct with your words. Which I'm not being right now.
You are doing a great job. But effectively, that is what also I hear in my ear.
Exactly. And you still have to talk and look like you're not confused and listening to what we're saying.
it's a definite skill, I think, for everybody that works in TV. I think sometimes when you sit at home and you just watch telly, you think, oh, that looks easy. I'll have a go at that. But as you said, it takes an army behind the scenes.
And there's that going on behind the scenes all the time. Mm.
Yeah, so that's not just the first 5 minutes. That happens for the entire, if you've got, you know, a live game or whatever that's in total 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's happening the entire 2 hours.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. And that's where you kind of have to be able to multitask, because you've got to hear the information that everyone's telling you, because they're only talking to you if something's important. So for example, the PA, you're hearing her, but at the same time, you're not fixated on it because you've also still got to be able to think and cue other people and cue the VT or the camera that you're going to go to next. So you've got to be able to be organized. You've got to be able to prioritize. And that's how on TV it all looks really seamless and really smooth. But it's because it's that kind of joint team effort of everyone coming together that gets you there. And I think the key thing is communication, but also the key thing is keeping calm, because you're on open talkback, so everyone can hear you. It's your job to set the tone for the entire gallery.
That definitely is worth 5 points, that answer. She's off the mark. Strong start over here. Here we go. 5 written down. That's so awesome.
Get in.
I love that. Get in. Let me talk to you. What is it like being a female TV director?
It's interesting.
Yeah. Are people quite surprised when you tell them what your job is?
I think they're surprised, but not until I tell them the football part. I don't think it's surprising just because it's an unusual job. When you then say you work in football, I think everyone's like, oh, okay, cool.
That's still something that is still it's not an issue at all, it's the wrong word, but it still is very much something that people are taken aback by.
Yeah,
that you're like,
definitely.
Oh, you work in football. And then to me, when I say, yeah, I work in football, the question I always get is, oh, do you like football then?
Yeah.
And you're like, mate, it's my job. Like,
no, I hate football.
No,
I just thought I'd work in it.
And I don't know anything about it at all. In terms of a gallery as well, what's the split like between male and female ratio? And do you feel like more women over the last 4 or 5 years are now working in galleries? Perhaps from back when, if you remember your 2012 days, you know, London 2012 days, when, all right, you were a runner, but you obviously witnessed who was doing which roles and where. Do you feel there's been progression?
Definitely, yes. There's, especially at Premier League, I think there's an, especially in the galleries as well, there's a nice healthy mix of male and female balance. I'd still say there's certain roles that are typically the majority female or typically majority male. But the balance is still quite nice within the gallery. You have a nice mix of male and female.
Would you say that your job role as a TV director is typically male or female?
I'd say it's typically male, but I'd say there's starting to be more females coming through and doing that job now.
And do you feel that that's just because there's more opportunity?
Yeah. And also, I don't think people see working in football as something that's just for men. I think more women have the confidence to go, actually, that is something that I can do. And actually, I'm really going to push for that. And you can work and work your way up and think that that is a possibility for you. Whereas before, I think maybe you wouldn't think that you could achieve that because that wasn't your role, if that makes sense.
And but now possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Like if I was coming through now, and even when I did come through, there wasn't a role that I didn't think that I could do because I was female.
Do you feel like at all ever that, do you ever sort of stop and reflect in yourself and go, oh my God, I'm actually doing like, I'm doing well here. I'm just going to put this out there.
It's really funny because no, I don't. But my boyfriend literally said the other day that I need to do that.
Oh, he sounds like a keeper.
He was like, you're 29. You've been in TV now for, what are we now, 2020? So 7 years. And look where you've got to. I've worked at World Cups. I've worked at the Euros. I've been abroad for several gigs. I work for the Premier League and I'm like a fully trained TV director. Ooh. I've achieved a lot in my career and I need to take time to look back at that and be proud of that and look at what I've achieved, because I think I'm kind of always pushing heads forward. And I think that is probably part of being in the minority in my workplace, because I kind of feel like I have to push that extra kind of mile. But at the same time, I need to take that time to look back and go, actually, I've done pretty damn well.
I know, I've done all right here. You should be proud to say that. There should be nothing wrong with that. I am all for people just being like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence, but I am all for people being confident in themselves.
I think it's quite an achievement for anyone at my age, wherever you're from or whoever you are. But I think being a female to achieve what I've achieved, I should be proud of that.
Yes, you should. Absolutely. Have you ever had an absolute disaster on the job?
As a director or just in TV?
Yeah, as a director. Oh, I'm sure in TV there's loads, but no, as a director.
I've had a guest not turn up before.
Oh, no.
Which happened not that long ago, actually. So I was expecting a presenter and two guests. So we were in the handover between full time of one match and kickoff of the next match. And only one of my guests have arrived and the other one hasn't. And I'm like, oh God,
this is not fun.
What do I do? So we just had to, we had to kind of adjust the studio so that you didn't see that there was an empty chair, and you just kind of kept it to single shots of just the presenter and the single guest. So you never actually ended up seeing that there was anyone missing. And also because the time between the end of the game and the start of the next one wasn't very long. So you kind of got your first guest kind of talking, and by that point it was time for the presenter to throw to the commentators. So we got away with it. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, but that's another aspect of your job that you have to deal with as well.
And that's the thing, because you don't know until you come in. You're like, oh God, we've got somebody missing. And then you're thinking on the spot. But again, that's where it comes down to, like, you've got to make the decision as the director, and you've got to stay calm, because otherwise everyone else panics. Mm. So as long as you make the decision, you go with it, and you stay calm and you communicate what you want, then everyone else just has to follow your instructions.
Yeah. Your voice is very calming. Like, you do stay very calm quite often. It's wonderful. It's very reassuring, let me tell you. Right, so let's move on to our second game. There you go. Take a quick swig of water. This game is called The Wrong Answer is Right.
Oh, God.
Okay, now you should be quite good at this.
Because this is where my mind is going to go blank.
No, but this is where you've just described to me how you've got to be quick thinking and adapt and stay calm under pressure.
Okay, all of the things that I do in my job, I can't actually do outside of my job. I'm like the worst organised person, the worst communicator outside of the gallery. But I'm great at it when I'm in the gallery.
In the gallery, you're on it. Well, let's see how you get on with this. So we're going to do 45 seconds on the clock. And all you have to do is give me an incorrect answer. Okay? It's all sport related.
Right.
Oh, we're going to do 45 seconds on the clock here. Are we ready? In 3, 2, 1. What sport does Cristiano Ronaldo compete in?
Badminton.
Ooh. Name a Premier League team.
Roger Federer.
What?
I don't know.
The LA Lakers and New York Knicks play which sport?
Tiddlywinks.
Chris Wilder is the manager of which team?
Boston Celtics.
Which sport has positions called wing attack, wing defence and centre?
Hockey.
If you win a race or a competition, what position have you come?
Ninth.
Yeah. what do you play football on?
The ceiling.
What does VAR stand for?
Vile apple rind.
Okay, how many sides are there on a square? We are done. I'll let you go. Go on, I'll let you answer that.
5.
Correct.
I didn't even hear the question.
Oh my God, it's so, winks.
That's really difficult.
Isn't it hard?
That's so difficult because you're... When you're under pressure, you're literally like, I want to blurt out the first thing that comes to mind.
I know. But I think adding it up, what do you get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Not bad. 8. We'll take that.
Oh, my God. That was really hard.
I know. Take a moment. Breathe. Recover. Look, with this, I want to help others perhaps get into the job role. Mm-hmm. Now, TV directing, it sounds quite complicated, but it's so achievable. Isn't it?
Yeah.
What sort of tips and advice can you perhaps pass on to other people? What is a good starting point to get into this job?
Just basically get loads of experience, and it doesn't matter where you get it from. So if you're doing student media, if you're even if you're studying something else, or you've just come out of school, just try and get in at a local TV station or a production company and just get that experience. Like I said, being the runner was probably the best job I ever did. You could talk to everyone, you could go into every edit suite, you could go everywhere, you can see everything, and it gives you an opportunity to find out what each role does and find what you think you'd want to pursue. So I never saw being a runner as being bottom of the rung. I saw it as I actually get the coolest job because I can go everywhere. Whereas if I'm an editor, I'm stuck in my edit suite. Or if I'm a director, I'm stuck in my gallery. I was a runner, I could go everywhere and I could talk to everyone. So take that opportunity and use it to talk to people and find out about their job. And then once you know what you want to go in, just badger the people that do it already to get more and more experience.
Is shadowing a good way to do
that
as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some of it is luck because you ultimately need somebody to give you an opportunity. But if you shadow enough and the people that are mentoring you are good trainers, they will give you a chance to have a go at it either during a live show or during a rehearsal or something that kind of gives you a taste for what
it's
actually
like. I do feel like everyone within our industry wants to give other people a chance.
Yeah.
Like when someone walks into a room for whatever job role, everybody wants that person to be really good and do well and like, I sometimes feel like people think, oh God, it's really hard, it's a closed door, and it is, but at the same time, everyone is so wanting other people to do well.
It is if you don't talk to anyone.
Yeah,
because it's, you're like, no one's going to kind of come up to you and say, this is what I do, come and do what I do, kind of thing. You've got to go looking for it. So there is an element of hard work, but I think if you talk to people, tell them what you're interested in, tell them what you want to do, and especially nowadays where you've got work experience opportunities and apprenticeships and trainee schemes and all of that kind of stuff, have a look at what is available in different production companies, and then it's just a case of like working your way up. So if you know,
it's being
already,
patient as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and experience speaks a lot. It's not just about ticking off one thing and saying, I've done that, now next thing. Doing it 10, 20, 30 times gives you such a body of foundation that you build on that you need to move on to the next step. It will make you a better director if you've done 50 shows. And I'm not the best director I can be now, but I won't be in 10 years' time, but I'll be better than I am now. And you kind of keep building on your experience.
What things do you know now that perhaps you'd known when you'd started out?
The hours.
Yeah. What are the hours? Because they're not 9 to 5, are they?
No. So day shifts, we are in at 9, and on a good day, we're done by 6:30, which I think is about 9 hours or so. But if you do the match days at the weekend, you're in at 9, and sometimes you're not done till about 8:30, 9 o'clock. So it's a 12-hour day.
But also, it's not the same set days every week, is it?
No, and you're kind of, you don't know your rota beyond a month normally. So you kind of know what you're doing for the next month, but it will change from week to week. So one week you might be doing a certain number of days, the following week you'll do a different set of days, and you still get your 2 days off, but you don't get them sometimes together, sometimes they're split up. So it's a toll on your life in that sense, if you see it in that way. But if you enjoy what you do, it's totally worth it.
Absolutely. 100% worth it, isn't it? And what sorts of attributes do you think will help or assist? What do you need? What do you look for as a TV director in other directors?
Good communication. You've got to be clear and concise when you're talking to people, especially on talkback. You've got to be calm. I don't like people that shout in the gallery. So the second somebody starts flapping in a gallery, you've kind of lost my respect. Mm. And being proactive and organized, who do you need to listen to first? Who needs to give you that instant information, and who can wait a couple of seconds and you can talk to them once you've got into a package or once you've got into the studio, kind of thing.
Mm. Right, last opportunity to make some points up on our quiz.
I'm ready.
And this quiz is called How Well Do You Know Yourself?
Oh God.
So all these questions, you're going to know the answers. Well, I hope,
I do. Today,
because they're all about you.
How much talking have you done for this?
An awful lot. So again, we are going to have 45 seconds on the clock. We're going to get through as many as we can. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay, so in 3, 2, 1. You have directed me and my co-host many a time at Premier League over the 2019-20 season. Who is my co-host?
Adam Hunt.
In 2016, you went to the Stade de France to the Euros. You watched the Republic of Ireland versus who?
Sweden.
What was the score?
Oh, it was 2-1?
Oh,
3-1.
No!
Oh my God.
It was just 1-1.
Oh.
Who did you call Wonder Boy when they graced the cover of the Spurs matchday programme? He left last season.
Oh my God.
Any idea?
No.
Surname starts with an E?
Ericsson.
There you go. In the summer of 2019, you and I worked together on which job that was over a weekend based at Crystal Palace?
The Nike Youth Games.
It was. What year did you graduate from Loughborough University?
2012.
Yes, I'll give you that one. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I think you got through 5, 6.
Yes.
We got through there.
Get in.
Well done.
Oh my God.
It's stressful talking about yourself, isn't it?
It is. And I'm like, I literally can think of the picture that you're talking about, but I have no idea.
Oh, Grace, look, this has been awesome. We are going to wrap this up. I feel like you've given us a whole new insight into what a TV director is, what it involves. So thank you so much
for
agreeing to do
this.
Finally, I just want to get, we're doing this with all our guests, the final sentence. I'm going to start it. You're going to finish it in as many or as little words as you would like. So I'm going to start it and just say, women in sport,
you're as good as you think you are. So whatever you want to do, just keep pushing for it and you can achieve it.
I literally love that answer. I feel like that deserves a round of applause. Grace, you have been amazing. Thank you so much. Another episode down of Outside the Box. Make sure you join us for a brand new episode next week. But for now, Grace, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Outside the Box with me, Becky Ives. Make sure you subscribe, share far and wide, and please feel free to leave me a review. Let's keep this conversation going, though, on social media. Just use the hashtag OutsideTheBoxPod. Next up, we'll be speaking to ex-pro turned TV producer Alicia Ferguson. But in the meantime, do feel free to get in touch with any comments, questions, anything that I can help you with. You can drop me a shout anytime at Becky_Ives_ on Twitter or at Becky Ives Official on Instagram. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.